W Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The American Bar Association, the nation's largest legal organization, says in a statement that, quote, everything can be more efficient, but adherence to the rule of law is paramount. The group adds that dismantling congressionally enacted agencies is wrong. One of these agencies, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau.
Employees receiving an email that they should not come into the office, instructing them, please do not perform work tasks. The Bureau was created after the 2008 financial crisis to protect American families from unfair and deceptive practices on everything from mortgages to credit cards.
That's ABC's Rachel Scott in Washington, where today President Trump meets with Jordan's king a day after he threatened to cut off aid if Jordan does not go along with his plans for Gaza. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell testifies today on Capitol Hill amid questions about future interest rate cuts and disruption to the economy as a result of tariffs. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM. For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is part of a group of legislators bringing forward the Right to Contraception Act once again. The legislation would create a statutory right to obtain and use contraceptives and would ensure that healthcare providers have a right to provide contraception, and share information with patients. Similar legislation was introduced in July of 2022, June 2023, and June of 2024. Blocked each time by the Republicans in the U.S. Senate. The February primary election is in 1 week, and then the April 1st spring election will follow. Everyone will be able to vote in the primary for State Superintendent of Public Instruction, where incumbent Jill Underley faces challenges from Jeff Wright and Brittany Kinzer. Many other local primaries will decide who will be on the April 1st spring ballot. See our story at WGBW.FM for a look at the Green Bay ballot. Support for Governor Tony Evers' first statewide Office of Violence Prevention is gaining momentum outside of the state capitol, as some safety experts and advocates hope it'll save lives. Savannah Tomei Olson has the story.
Reggie Moore heads community safety at the Medical College of Wisconsin. He formerly led Milwaukee's violence prevention office during a critical period after a 70% increase in homicides in 2015.
The fact that cities are getting smarter on crime and the impact that these types of interventions can have in addressing violence before it happens, I think is something that people understand that we should be doing.
He says using this public health approach to gun violence contributed to Milwaukee's four-year decline in homicides and non-fatal shootings beginning in 2016, which was one of the biggest drops in crime nationwide at the time. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
The Bucks get beat by the Warriors. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks battled but came up short to Golden State, 125-111 in favor of the Warriors. The loss came one day after the Bucks had beat the Clippers on Sunday. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Thought overall our guys fought. They hung in there. I thought we were playing on tired legs. You could see that. You know, only one that looked fresh was Dame in a lot of ways. He was aggressive. But, you know, it's a combination of 2 weeks home, 2 weeks. Now we leave back tomorrow, so we knew this was coming. Not a lot we can do about it. Hopefully we can muster up enough energy and rest and play this last game before we get our real rest.
The Bucks in Minnesota tomorrow night against the Timberwolves. Giannis Antetokounmpo's now missed 6 games with that calf muscle injury in his left leg, and he's going to be out for the NBA All-Star game this weekend. College hoops, 18th-ranked Marquette hosts DePaul tonight. Number 16th-ranked Wisconsin at Purdue this Saturday. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 12 for a high this afternoon. The wind northwest at 5, and it's fairly light, but it's enough to keep that wind chill around zero most of the day. Tonight, 2 above. Tomorrow, cloudy with some light snow. We may get an inch or two through tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 4 above.
Community is more than where you live. It's the people in it who show up each day and help it thrive. During Black History Month and year-round, AARP recognizes the everyday excellence of those who give back to their Wisconsin communities. They believe when efforts drive change for the greater good, everyone thrives together. Connect and learn what AARP is doing locally and how they can make the communities better for all ages. Visit aarp.org/WI. Paid for by AARP.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, many areas in Milwaukee are considered a food desert. That's why there's the mobile market. You'll find out how you can use it yourself. Join us.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10. From Hobart to Bay Settlement, 97.9 WGBW.
You sure gotta climb a lot of steps to get to this Capitol building here in Washington. Well, I wonder who that sad little scrap of paper is.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the Capitol City. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill.
Gee, Bill, you certainly have a lot of patience and courage.
Well, I got this far. When I started, I wasn't even a bill. I was just an idea.
You know, the Sandy, that should be mandatory for children to hear.
Well, this is a children. This is Nickelodeon, and this one is from another children's show. I just wanted to demonstrate that, you know, we teach our children all about this, about the rule of about how it works. We go to civics class. All of this is fundamental to society, and it's been so fundamental that it's embodied in all these kinds of animated learning processes, as well as in our music generally.
Hey, Sandy, we don't do that anymore. I remember when they did that, and when that came out, and the impact that that had on children, it worked. I mean, that's not what they're doing today. They should go back to that. It's clear. It was animated. And so young people could learn it more and in a fun way than the mundane way of a teacher sitting down in a classroom teaching it. So 855-752-4842 is Tuesday, and we'll talk about the music in a few minutes. My co-host Sandy Williams, Sandy, we got a lot of text messages. Tony says Republican voters are taking their lead from Trump. He has not reached out to in any way to get Democratic support for any of his policies. And so I guess what they're saying is you want to have these conversations with the people on the other side. I'm all for having those conversations. But on the high levels of government, Sandy, they aren't willing to have it.
Well, maybe there's a common ground, which is process. That's why I decided this would be might be a good subject to talk about today. Process is something we can agree upon, I think.
They're not agreeing upon process.
Constitutional process. And so, well, if the public would agree upon it, then we could possibly put some brakes on a process that's ongoing in Washington that seems to be headed in the direction of creating a new and different process that's autocratic, you know, that's one in which we give all the power to a man and allow that a man or that person in power to pick and choose the laws that they decide to follow, the laws they decide to implement. The impounding of money that has been authorized by Congress is essentially the reverse of taxation without representation. Taxation without representation is what drove us to the revolution. You know, it was a process. We were willing to be taxed as the colonies so long as we could vote upon it. But if we couldn't vote upon it, then we revolted. And if we voted on it and decided to spend it, as a people, then if the president decides to impound it, he's done essentially the same thing. It's the same crime.
Hey, Sandy, the people have always agreed with process. That's why it hasn't been a problem up until now. The people who are choosing not to agree with process happen to be the Republicans. Go ahead, quickly.
Well, my hope is it's not all the Republicans, and that the people who care about our process and our Constitution will decide that process trumps policy from the standpoint of how policy is to be implemented.
Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Brendan, thank you very much. You say what? Brendan, are you there? We'll come. Brendan, are you there? Brendan, only because you've been waiting so long.
Hey, Brendan.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, Brendan.
Listen, thank you. Thank you all. Listen, everybody, stop watching the zone be flooded, okay? The man just said last night he's now got his plan in place to move those Palestinians because he's threatening to end a ceasefire in Palestine if we don't get the rest of the people back, okay? And the end of the guardrail, the paper guardrail that's standing right now between us and a dictatorship, is him ignoring the orders of a federal judge by telling the DOJ federal marshals, do not enforce anything the federal judge says. Once he does that, okay, you got Hegseth running the military. He said full disclosure to the Senate, but the first thing he did was turn around, take three legitimate news sources, kick them out of the press room, and bring in Breitbart, OAN, and Newsmax. They're setting up state TV. This is all going very smoothly, folks, and all our Republican friends are just sitting back watching it happen, and they're still so angry about Obama and a black female trying to run for president. He's taken the racism of this country, he's taken the hatred for people that aren't white, that are brown, and he's used it against us. And he's going to try to take over this country. Elon Saturday was in Germany flipping high Hitler signs to the right party of Germany. The real egg in this whole mixture of cake is Elon Musk, and he is trying to take over any country that will take his money and where he can buy politicians. Everybody needs to wake up.
Hey, Brendan, thank you.
And
the tipping point
will be when they come for your guns.
Thank you very much for the call, man. I wish you had more time. Sandy, you want to respond to anything Brendan had to say?
Well, no, I mean, I feel the same sense of alarm, but in order to try and appeal to people's thought process, I'm trying to get us to talk about this from the standpoint of process. And Brendan's dead on. We are at the brink of potentially a president, an executive, telling the marshals to defy the courts and to stand down. And if that happens, we've jumped the rail.
All right, let's go to Dave from Mequon. Good morning to you, Dave. You say what? Dave, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So really quickly, you know, I look at what's going on now, and basically Sandy is saying we got to look at the process. The process has been twisted and turned now for decades. And what I mean by that is, unfortunately, we have a lot of Americans on both sides of the aisle that have suffered severe consequences with not feeling that they don't have any say with anything. And what I mean by that is, it's sort of like when you build a home, when you do different things, there are so many different things, so many different institutions of government that's involved with our daily lives.
Hey Dave, try to focus. We don't have a lot of time, Dave, so try to focus on the conversation that we're having.
Here's my question, Dave. You're saying that people are frustrated. That was my point earlier. I think people are frustrated with the fact that government has not been very actively responsive through the process ever that we our government's been paralyzed ever since paralysis of government was the strategy of Newt Gingrich. And ever since then, we've had this paralysis. But are you suggesting that the paralysis of government is a reason for now ignoring the processes implemented under our Constitution and allowing someone to be in power and ignore process in order to implement policy? That's a direct question.
Well, so would you have a judge that's ordering a temporary
just answer the order? Question, or I want to understand, because I don't. It isn't a matter of talking about particular specifics. If a judge issues an order, is the government entitled to ignore it, or is the government required to follow the judicial processes set forth in our Constitution to try to upset that judicial order?
They're supposed to follow the order. However, let me finish, Sandy. They're supposed to follow the order. However, what we've seen time and time again in the past, the last few decades, we see the DOJ and other things where people want to defend their land and other things. And then the federal government says, nope, you can't do that.
My goodness.
Dave, thank you very much for the call.
You're just not focusing on the issue, Dave, and you're trying to arm wave about frustrations to justify a process. And that's the danger we're in right now. Okay. So, you represent the danger that I described, because justifying upsetting the process by frustrations about policy is the very danger we face.
So, Sandy, this is why when we want to have this conversation with people on the right who say they're frustrated with the way government has been run and so they want to upend it, they're not the only ones who are frustrated with the way government has been run. And so they're not the only ones entitled to say that it hasn't been run properly for us. It's all of us. But we're at a point where we're listening to one side of this who have said it hasn't worked the way we wanted it. So we're going to demand and we're going to change all of that's my issue. We're listening to one side of it.
Well, what you're listening to is a side of it that thinks they've grabbed control of the reins, well, number one. And number two, they think that they've grabbed control of the reins and only will have it for a limited period of 2 years because they think this democratic process will probably take the reins away from them after 2 years. And so they are attempting to accomplish outside of the bounds of process all the things that they want to accomplish. And if this had happened in reverse, I think that the minority communities in this country have for long thought that the law was not being implemented four square in the manner that they hoped it would be implemented.
Sandy, but nobody listened. When we petitioned, nobody listened.
And however, when a black man was elected president, what they saw was not this kind of upset of process. Barack Obama did not attempt to implement laws outside the boundaries. Our processes and constitutional processes continued.
Sandy, the voters don't care about process, but it is important that the people in power care about the process. You won't change hearts and minds with process.
Well, that's very concerning to me, because the American public has its entire stake in the Constitution and the implementation of the Constitution. And if we destroy the Constitution, people want to talk about it. And the right who want to talk about it so very much are the ones now who want to throw it in the trash bin.
All right, 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday, my co-host Sandy Williams, and a riveting conversation. We're going to continue it.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Between all the holiday parties,
weekend tailgates,
and family get-togethers,
we've been overindulging a little more than usual over the holidays. But now, we are starting the new year off on a healthier note by taking active liver supplements from New Nordic every day.
Active Liver contains a powerful blend of turmeric, milk thistle, and globe artichoke extract, all natural ingredients that help protect the liver so that it can protect you from toxins. It's like giving my body a daily detox. I've never felt better, and my energy is through the roof.
And my doctor is already impressed with how much better my numbers are looking. So if better health, more energy, and detoxing your body are some of your priorities this year, get Active Liver today and start the year off knowing you're giving your liver some well-deserved relief.
Active Liver is available in both tablets and as a delicious gummy. You can find Active Liver in stores at your local CVS or online at Amazon or NewNordicUSA.com.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With limited incomes not keeping up with the lingering effects of inflation, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596. That's 800-506-5596. Or visit www.kwwf.org.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM.
Show as always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at the same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesdays with Sandy Williams. Sandy, we got a truckload of text messages and the phone lines full. Let's go. And we'll talk about the music on at the next break. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Yeah, first, Sandy, we from the Reagan generation actually never had Civics, just to let you know. He actually destroyed Civics in the public schools and also in the private school, because I went to a private school. We did not have Civics. The difference between Republicans and Democrats, Republicans hate We the People government and want to destroy it until they have a dictator. Democrats may have issues with the government, but they always are trying to strive to make it better for we the people. And I think that that's at the crux of where we're at. Because the honest truth is, if you don't like something, you're going to tear it down. Government, we the people government, does not work when Republicans run it. It's just the bottom line. They have, you know, they want to get through all this regulation and all this stuff. There's a reason. There is a process in government. And I think one thing the Democrats could do, because Barack Obama and other people grew up during the Reagan era as well, and apparently bought into the fact that government bad, government bad, government bad. Believe me, there's a lot in the private sector that is bad, but all we do with the private sector is put that up on a pedestal. and we say how crappy government is, we need to start pushing back and say we the people are government, and government is good. And this is what it actually gives us. And with Donald Trump tearing down we the people government, hopefully people will start to see the good that government has done and actually come up with a slogan that make government great again. Make we the people government great again. Thank you.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Gene from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Oh, standing there, Tom from L.A. Great job. Yeah, you know, I've been watching our government live for years. And, yeah, they went back and forth, but they debated. And they made, you know, they'd compromise and they'd see what should be in a bill. And also, all of our agencies, all of those people that go to work every day in all the different offices work to make our government better. It is our government. It is our protection, Homeland Security, also all the different protections, and also our streets and roads and all the things in school. The thing that drives me bananas, having worked in the schools, having tested kids, and getting rid of the Department of Education. That is ludicrous. People move all over the state. If the schools aren't somewhat uniform, those kids, they're going to be hurting really bad. I mean, I cannot believe it. You know, I've watched, you know, for years. Now, this government under the DT, those people, a lot of them were good Republicans fighting back in the past, but guess what? Right now, all they do is run people down and fight, and it's really bad. Take a look, guys. Watch
hey, Gene, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. Hey, Sandy, we've attempted the experiment that you and I talked about having a conversation with conservatives. We had several who called in. They weren't even willing to have the discussion. Okay. And so...
Well, let me say this. I don't think that they weren't willing to have it. I think that what they wanted to do was deflect and to ignore the proposition of what's going on and to suggest that, yes, they believed in adhering to process, but, okay? And you can't say that you believe in adhering to process, but. There is no but. There is process, and it must be followed for our Constitution to survive.
Sandy, I heard them say, well, you guys have been in charge all these years, and that's not willing to have a frank discussion. That is what we're hearing from one side of the ledger, not just with our callers in this experiment, Sandy, but all the programs that I'm watching and hearing, even from Republicans all the way up to the top, saying the same thing. They're not willing to have the conversation.
Well, my fear is that this assault on the deep state, this notion that our government, the bureaucrats of our government are the enemy, doesn't just include the executive branch of government, but it also includes the courts. And there has been a direct assault on the integrity of the courts, and the notion that the courts are infected by liberals, and that it's therefore a notion that you can ignore these decisions of these courts because they are essentially an extension of the deep state. That whole kind of thinking is the end of our democracy.
So, Sandy, where do you go from there? Because that is part of the thinking that's entrenched right now in the minds of far too many people, not all, but far too many who call themselves Republicans.
Well, I just think we need to go back to civics and start talking about the importance of our process and our system and the constitutional form of government. Republicans want to wrap themselves in the Constitution, but they're going to be naked if they throw it away.
All right, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. And Sandy, I do think it's safe to say that our nation is soon will be weighed in the balance if we don't fix this. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 97.9 WGBW News, I'm Lisa Hale. A Kashina man was sentenced to over 9 years in prison for beating his ex-wife and leaving her in a wooded area. 43-year-old John Miller, a member of the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin with 20 prior convictions, was given 115 months in prison for the brutal attack that the judge called horrendous. A former professional football player with the Green Bay Blizzard, the only player for that team to have his jersey retired, and new head coach at Southwest High School in Green Bay. B.J. Hill is a modern-day history maker and featured athlete for Black History Month. While training young athletes, inspiring their performance, and racking up the wins may be the main part of his job description, Hill says setting a culture for the students at Southwest High is his first priority.
To me, setting the culture, the first thing is getting to know the students, right? And so I don't want to come in and just be a dictator. I want to understand what each student and what each player is dealing with in their personal life. And then I can empathize with them in terms of what they're going through. And as long as they know they have a personal relationship with me, they're going to want to run through a wall. That's just the way it is.
Now that his playing days with the Blizzard are over, Hill says he can focus on what he found to be his true calling.
I was like, you know what? This is exactly what you want to do. This is your passion. You know, you love coaching. You love teaching kids.
Hill emphasized that, yes, he wants to see the athletes at Southwest High School to a winning season, but he also wants to help the athletes and their fellow students win at life.
I'm an extension of the parents, you know, whether it's a one-parent household, two-parent household, I'm on your team. And so the goal is we want to build these boys into young men. That's the first order of business.
BJ Hill, coach, culture creator, teacher, and Black history maker. I'm Lisa Hale, 97.9 WGBW News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. A dog is supposedly a man's best friend, but in the movie Dogman, they are one and the same. The film, about a canine police officer and his human handler who become one following surgery after being injured on the job, is number one at the box office for a second week in a row. The family-friendly canine caper pulled in almost $14 million at the domestic box office this past weekend, bringing its two-week total to $54 million. Two newcomers filled spots number two and three from last weekend. Sony Pictures' Heart Eyes opened in second place with a weekend haul of $8.5 million, and it was Universal's action comedy Love Hurts that came in third place with $5.8 million. Mufasa the Lion King is showing serious resilience, finishing at number four with just under $4 million in its eighth week of release, and with domestic totals now at $235 million. Finishing out the top five is the horror sci-fi comedy Companion, which brought in $3 million in its second week in theaters. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Mostly sunny today. We'll get to around 12 for a high this afternoon. The wind northwest at 5, and it's fairly light, but it's enough to keep that wind chill around zero most of the day. Tonight, 2 above. Tomorrow, cloudy with some light snow. We may get an inch or two through tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 6.
Hey, it's Amanda with your new Wisco 411, and who's ready to jump into an icy cold lake? Come on, it sounds like fun, right? A polar plunge is a Wisconsin rite of passage, and one's coming up sooner than you think. February 22nd at Prokopsky Boat Launch in De Pere. You can join a bunch of other brave and exciting souls who are ready to take the plunge, supporting more than 1,400 athletes of Special Olympics Wisconsin. Go ahead and register now. Go to WGBW.FM, click events to find out how.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome former police officer and podcaster Mark Motorson, who will discuss a fun true crime event at the Appleton Historical Society. And our pal film critic Rob Thomas joins the show to talk movies.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
a summer called the nation, and she walked away. Independence would daydream, and he'd pretend that someday him and Justice and Nation would be together again. But Justice held up in shotgun shack, wouldn't let nobody in. So the nation cried.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, Texas, at that same number. It's Tuesday. That means Tuesday is my co-host, Sandy Williams. And you, Sandy, the music has been outstanding. What's behind it?
Well, it was this whole question of following the rule of law. It started out with some civics lessons from Nickelodeon and some of the other things that our children watch. And then just music that reflects it. The Rufus Wainwright thing about was kind of a tongue-in-cheek rules and regulations. But, you know, what we're talking about today is fundamental to the American system, which is simply process. Not what we're doing in terms of policy, but how we're doing it and how we as the American people are abiding by laws and passing laws that are reflect the will of the American people.
So if you're just joining us, at the root of our conversation this morning, has been about the rule of law and where we're headed. So let's go back to the phone lines and Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call as always. You know, I was looking into presidential orders, executive orders, and until this administration came into power, the record was 42 executive orders in the first 100 days. So now we have a sitting president who has done somewhere around 500 of these executive orders that it is absolutely impossible to vet, impossible to investigate, and impossible to then report back to the people what exactly, you know, is the game plan. The whole process has been turned on its side here. The Supreme Court process of selecting judges, they manipulated that. They're denying millions of people the access to vote, the things like interstate cross-check and all these other exclusionary things to deny people their ballot. It's difficult to get your mind wrapped around these things. You know, civil service professionals, that's an efficient way to run public office, bringing in people from the outside that really don't have the experience. That's not good business. That's not efficient. So the last thing I want to say is, you know, here we have this party that have denied our election outcomes when all science, all reports say it was a good election. They've, you know, continued this huge onslaught of just attack on every issue. I'm done with these guys. As far as I'm concerned, the Republican Party has been captured. It's not the Republican Party that my parents were happy with and participated in. It has nothing to do. This is a takeover. This is a takeover, like you said in the last hour, Earl. They are taking over the government. They are dismissing the Constitution and the power of we the people. And if we don't wake up from the stupor that we're in, it's going to be too late.
Hey,
we
Mike,
don't have much time.
Hey Mike, what your thoughts about Sandy saying we've got to work hard to have conversation and dialogue with these people? Your thoughts?
Well, that's the first step, but they have to want to have that dialogue back and forth. You know, it's not dialogue is not a one way street. And what I've seen and what I've witnessed, and I've certainly heard today and other days on your show, is the other side here, these anarchists, they don't, they deflect. They won't take on the conversation. They won't. They just refuse to.
Sandy, so, you want to respond?
Here's my theory, which is these people ought to be scared by what I'm talking about. this is, you know, they have operated, the Republicans and the right, in the name of Republicans, have for quite a while now decided to instill fear in the American.
Mike, you got to turn your radio down. Mike,
it is all the way down.
Okay,
way
go
down.
Ahead, Sandy. Okay.
Have decided to instill fear into the American people as a way of driving them into a corner and getting them to abandon reason. Well, here's something to be afraid of. A dictator, a person who takes power and ignores laws and chooses which laws to abide by and which laws not to abide by, who decides to seize the military and to use the military for domestic purposes. If this was a Democrat doing these things, these Republicans would realize that it's something to be afraid of. And so my point is, process is a nonpartisan issue. Process is something that protects the partisans on both sides of the aisle from abuse by the partisan on the other side of the aisle. And what we've got now in place is a party in power that's looking like they're attempting to use to ignore process for the purpose of having the ends justify the means.
All right, let's go to line six and Cassandra. Line six and Cassandra. Good morning, Cassandra. You say what?
Earl and Sandy, thanks for taking my call. And I'm watching you all on YouTube, and I see Cardi, the new producer. And I just wanted to say welcome. It's nice to see a young new face on the set.
You appreciate that, by the way.
I voted for Trump, and I am not a MAGA person. And I just want you all to know that those of us who did vote for Trump and who were members of the Democratic Party for a number of years, we did so because we just did not feel the party was listening to us. And one caller said, we can't have a conversation with people who voted for Trump. That's not true. I'm sitting here, I'm listening to all of your concerns. And Sandy, I agree about the part that the Republican Party, what they're doing is very, very dangerous. I believe that we cannot have any party disregard or ignore court orders. The court has to be respected. There is a mechanism in place to stop all of this, and that is the Congress and Senate. And so there should be a real push to get the Republican Congress and Senate to uphold their constitutional duty, which is to put a check on the president. And as I said before, this blanket statement that we are not listening, those who voted for Trump, that's not true. We are. So you have to find a way of communicating a little bit better to us.
So let me ask you, Cassandra, if you had it to do all over again today, watching what is taking place, would you still vote for Donald Trump?
I would, Earl, and you've asked me that before. Here's the issue, something, Earl, that I want you to please consider. Everyone is very critical of Elon Musk. Elon Musk,
and rightfully so.
He did not come onto the scene, instantly. He was groomed by none other than Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi.
Hey Cassandra. Say that, but Nancy Pelosi was not in a position to give him the power to do what he's doing. Donald Trump did. So it really doesn't matter.
Oh.
Well, Cassandra, you are saying that he was groomed by Nancy Pelosi. When the Democrats were in charge, they didn't give him entree into our government. How can you say that she's the reason that Elon Musk is doing what he's doing?
Well, let me intervene here for a minute, because I think that The problem with arguing like that, Cassandra, about what somebody else did is begs the question of process. Process is, it disregards all of that, and process is just the procedure that's set in place. And incidentally, the process we have doesn't really include Congress constraining the executive actions of the president. That's solely up to the courts. And only the courts can decide that a president is acting unilaterally outside the law. And so if Congress enacts laws that the president decides to ignore, the only channel to protect against that is the courts. And so what we have here is this fragile system that does not depend on, yeah, but. There are no yeah, but arguments associated with process. Process is rigid, and process has to be followed. And if the process isn't followed, our system breaks.
Cassandra, you can respond.
If the process is rigid, Sandy, then what is the argument? Then it means it's permanent and cannot be changed.
The process can be changed. The process can be changed by Congress, but the president has to honor whatever process is put in place. And what we're talking about is a president or an executive that decides to ignore the processes that are put in place. And if a president can ignore a law that's already executed, that's already been passed by a past Congress, he can also ignore a law that's passed by the existing Congress. So my point is that as far as checks and balances on the conduct of the president is concerned, there's only one path, and that's the courts.
Okay, Sandy, all I'm saying here is just to keep more of an open mind. Not all of us who voted for Trump.
I have that open mind. I have it. I'm simply saying that process is exceedingly important, and maybe we can have a meeting of the minds, as you indicated in your call. You agreed with the whole process issue.
Hey, Cassandra, I will say to you that as you ask Democrats to have an open mind on the people who voted for Donald Trump, I would ask those people who voted for Donald Trump to have an open mind themselves. And the more I hear from those people who voted for Donald Trump, there are less and less Cassandras in that group. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mary from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Mary. You say what?
Good morning, Earl and Sandy. So my simplistic or basic thought on what's going on is that parties that operate by their immoral beliefs and actions don't respect laws, and they act accordingly to accomplish their means. What do you think?
Yeah, well, Sandy, I think she's absolutely correct. But Sandy,
No, that is my point. I think by talking about the process that needs to be honored in order to maintain our Constitution in place, we can identify those who might be acting contrary to it. And in my mind, at least, it's most recently been the conservative wing of the Republican Party, who wraps themselves in a Constitution which they are determined to ignore.
All right, 855-752-4842 is the phone number. A heated conversation this morning, and a really informative conversation, as always, with my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show. One more segment.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, it's Brian from Heights Pub and Parlor, 217 North Washington Street in Green Bay.
And I'm Ashley. Get your happy hour on every Monday through Thursday, 2 to 6 p.m. with $4 rail mixers and drafts and $3 bottled beers.
Plus, we've upgraded our kitchen. We now use lard in our fryers for healthier, tastier food. Check out our prime Angus burgers, pressed paninis, and our fresh walleye.
Hosting a party? Book our second floor parlor with a third level loft. They're perfect for get-togethers.
Heights Pub and Parlor, online at heightsgb.com or follow us on Facebook.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. After 22 years as a commissioner and chair of the Federal Election Commission, Ellen Weintraub was purportedly sacked by President Donald Trump with this terse sentence: "You are hereby removed as a member of the Federal Election Commission, effective immediately." But as with several of Trump's recent actions, it's not legal. Weintraub may have made Trump's enemies list when she and another commissioner issued a statement in 2021 after the FEC's three Democrats and three Republicans deadlocked, subsequently dropping the campaign finance violation complaint resulting from Trump's $130,000 payment to porn star Stormy Daniels. Weintraub and then FEC Chair Shayna Broussard said after the dismissal, "The commission therefore did not have enough votes to pursue well-grounded charges that the former president of the United States knowingly and willfully accepted contributions nearly 5,000% over the legal limit to suppress a negative story mere days before Election Day." The Campaign Legal Center's Trevor Potter, himself a former FEC chair, said in a statement, "In claiming to fire a commissioner of the Federal Election Commission, the president violates the law, the separation of powers, and generations of Supreme Court precedent. As the only agency that regulates the president, Congress intentionally did not grant the president the power to fire FEC commissioners." In a post on X, Weintraub vowed to continue her work on the commission. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well.
All right, welcome back to what is the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's been a rousing conversation with my co-host Sandy Williams. Let's go right back to the phone lines and Jack from Merrimack. Good morning to you, Jack. You say what?
Good morning. Unelected. No confirmation hearing. Appointed to a job that's not in the Constitution, not in any law, and not in any regulation. No security clearance. No vetting whatsoever, aside from the fact that he gave $250 million to Trump's campaign. Citizen of three countries. I wonder how our patriots think about that. And no known allegiance to any. Unilaterally gifted, by the way, with this position. These patriots who think this is just fine and wrap themselves in the flag and the Constitution, you know, how about you start following the Constitution instead of posting love it or leave it memes, much like the McCarthy era of the 50s or the Vietnam era of the 70s. I've lived through both, by the way. So let Congress create such a job. Oh, wait a minute. I thought they already had. It's called Inspectors General, most of whom were fired. Once there's an actual dodgy job, then nominate whoever you want for its head. Make sure he can pass a security check, preferably is only a U.S. citizen, not a citizen of a bunch of countries, so you know where the loyalty really lies. Make sure the nominee has a confirmation hearing, so both conservative and progressives can ask questions that explore the qualifications and conflicts of interest. Have a roll call vote, so we know who decided, yeah, this guy is what we really want. You don't just say, yeah, you're the guy for this job because I know you and you gave me $260 million in campaign funds. I mean, that's essentially what it is. That's what we've got now.
You know what,
it's
Jack?
Pretty disgusting. Jack, talk about process.
Jack, your problem is you understand democracy. Sandy, you want to respond to what Jack is saying?
Well, no, that was my point in terms of teeing the subject up, is to try and inspect what's going on as compared to the process that's required. I mean, it's alarming. We have a president who's pardoning Blagojevich, the convicted governor of
Illinois,
because he's become a Trump supporter. We have him pardoning Eric Davis, the mayor of New York, who's has been convicted or is in the process of being convicted of bribery. You know, we've got people, we've got a president who's acting totally unilaterally based on his own self-interest, and he's doing it openly and notoriously. And apparently that allows him to get away with it. And I think what we have to worry about is the fact that our government is moving from a system of important processes that protect us to a unilateral control by an individual in which there is no process whatsoever. And no process is the end of our experiment.
You know, Sandy, so if in all the phone calls and conversations we had this morning, and when we had conservatives call and try to have an open dialogue with them, for the most part, it was, we don't want to have that conversation. We want to talk about you guys have been in control for all these years. And so that's where it ends up.
Well, I'm reading a text message from obviously a conservative who says democracy equals Democrats always getting their way. That misses the whole thrust of this conversation, which is I'm not now talking about what the outcome of the policy is. I'm simply talking about the procedure utilized to adopt the policy and the importance of having procedures in place that abide by the Constitution. And if we lose that, then we have lost something that is very important. And the conservatives who might be happy about the policies that are getting implemented in this ends justify the means kind of a process will be very unhappy if the ends that start justifying the means are the Democratic policies that get implemented in the same manner. That's the reason we have this process, because it is nonpartisan. It is protective of everyone and everyone's interest.
So Sandy, that's again the real fear. And as I stated to you earlier, my real fear is that Republicans know this. The people who are making these things happen know that there's another side of the coin, and that coin will flip. But they want a two-headed coin. And so they want to make sure that the other side, even if it flips, is going to still be them in power.
Well, yes. And that was my conclusion after reading the Project 2025 manual, was that this system that they want to put in place, in which the president's and the White House power is supreme, and that all regulations and rules would get thrown out the window, except those that are consistent with the incoming president's views, is a system that can't work unless a president is a president for much longer than 4 or 8 years. And so, you know, implicit in this concept of the very powerful president is essentially an autocracy.
Hey, Sandy, we got to run, man. Thank you for an inspiring and great show. Thank all of you, the listening audience. Could not do it without you. You are the reason that we keep moving forward. Thank you, Cardi. I look forward to working with you. Up next, Jane Matinere, Greg Bach, Matinere on Air. See you guys tomorrow.
Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Luke Mathers is on a vacation, so it'll be Tuesday Tangents with you and Aaron Zomers. And headlines of the day. Be with us then. And what's worse? We'll see you then.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee. The sound of a lawnmower. The sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell told the Senate Banking Committee that with elevated inflation and the solid job market, cuts to the interest rate are not imminent.
With our policy stance now significantly less restrictive than it had been, and the economy remaining strong, we do not need to be in a hurry to adjust our policy stance.
He also said that no other federal regulator is doing the job of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau as the Trump administration works to shut down the watchdog agency. The president today meets with the king of Jordan one day after threatening to halt aid if Jordan did not go along with his plans to rebuild Gaza. Steve Bannon, a conservative strategist and confidant of the president, pleaded guilty to a fraud charge relating to duping New York donors who gave money to a private border wall fundraiser. He will not serve jail time. Author Salman Rushdie on the witness stand testifying against the man charged with stabbing him in 2022. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with